So Father, we thank you for Kerry. We thank you for the step of faith that she has taken in giving up her career as a teacher. But Lord, we thank you that you've honored her already by allowing us to go back into school and beginning to build that link with a school who are open and want to hear what it is we have to say. Father, I pray she brings your word today as part of this purpose-driven life. Will you help her? Will you use her? Will we have ears that are able to hear and listen to what you want to say to us today? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everyone. So, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm very aware that when we're in church, we can hear a message one week, and then we hear a message a few weeks later, and it seems to slightly contradict. And that might feel as though that's what's going to happen this morning, because a few weeks ago, I was talking to you about Mary and Martha, and we were talking about how we need to rest in him. But today, we're talking about our gifts and how we need to serve God. But they do meet, so bear with me. For those of you that are doing the purpose-driven life, you will be very aware that we've gone through lots of different stages of how we can serve. And what we're thinking about today is that we are shaped to serve God. And we're going to play a video now, just with a little song to get you in the mood to understand how we're shaped to serve God. So if we could have our video.
Walk like a model or walk with a waddle. You are, you got indeed. If you're very, very funny or good at making money, you are, you got indeed. God had a brilliant plan when he created man. He knew just how each one would serve it. Wonderful indeed, gave you this you need to work on earth for him. You are shaped for serving God. You are shaped. Salami, you are, you got indeed. If you're fast like a whippet or really good at cricket, you are, you got indeed. God had a brilliant plan when he created man, and you just how each one would serve him. Wonderful indeed, you gave ambition to work on earth for him. You are shaped for serving God. You are shaped for serving God. You are shaped for serving God. Holy, holy is his name. You are shaped for serving God. You are shaped for serving God. You are shaped for serving God. Holy, holy is his name. Holy, holy is his name. Holy, holy is his name.
Probably don't need to say anything else. I think that video said it all. If we could have our slides, that would be amazing. As you know, we've been going through the series of purpose-driven life, and we have learned, if we can go on to the next slide, that would be brilliant, thank you. We've learned that we matter to God. We've learned that we were planned for God's pleasure. We learned that we were formed for God's family, and we learned that we've been created to become like Christ. And today, we are thinking how we've been shaped to serve God. And Linda's going to be a bit of our visual aid today. She looks really enthusiastic about it. So Linda is going to make for us a pot out of... See, look at this glamorous assistant. Fantastic. Out of some clay. She's going to make us a pot. Because I think that the clay that Linda's going to use really tells us a lot about how God shaped us. Because God shaped us right from the beginning. Now, that clay has been down in the ground for a very, very long time. And God shaped man from the soil, a bit like that clay, and blew the breath of life into his nostrils. That's what it tells us in Genesis. And so Linda has got the clay that has been there right from the beginning. And you were in God's plans right from the beginning. He knew what he was doing in your life to shape you right from the beginning. I think that's quite awesome. He also created us, shaped us intentionally. Psalm 139, one of my favourite psalms, says, "You saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book." So he was really intentional when he created you. He knew what he was doing. He had his plans for you. And that's how he shaped you. And he also made you completely. Linda's got no choice. She's not going to walk off until that pot is finished. And that's what God is like with us. Although he created us and we were formed in our mother's womb, he still shapes us. It tells us in the Bible that he is the potter and that we're the clay. And so although he knew what he was doing, he shaped us, he had his plan, he also carries on shaping us. And he carries on shaping us completely. He wants us to be whole in him. And so like Linda's done our pot there, that's how God created us. So God has shaped us from the beginning, intentionally, and completely. And I think that's quite amazing. So how's our pot coming on? You've even got a lid. That's quite awesome. Fantastic. So there's our pot. And that pot can remind us how God has shaped us. So I'll leave Linda finishing that off. So we're going to have our activity packs given out now, if that's okay. Thank you, Michelle, if you don't mind. Anyone, don't mind who. Because our activity packs are all based around our word shape. The word shape in purpose-driven life is used to represent how God has formed us, what he wants us to do. And there's different things in the activity packs today that are based around those letters. And hopefully it will become explanatory as we go through it. Because our first letter is S. And the letter S stands for spiritual gifts. And we have all been given spiritual gifts. When we became a Christian, we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to us to help us live our lives in the way that God wants us to live them. But we are also given spiritual gifts, special gifts uniquely given to us by God. And it's sometimes quite hard to know what our spiritual gifts are. And there's a number of reasons for that. But Erica's going to read what 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 6 tells us.
Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work.
Thanks, Erica. So did you notice that there's some repetition in that Bible verse? And I think when there's repetition, there's always a reason that there's repetition. God really, really wanted to make a point with that Bible verse. In the same way that as a mum, if you want your child to listen to something, you probably say it over and over again. So there's two words that are repeated in that Bible verse. The two words, if you have a look, are different and the same. When it's referring to things that are different, what's that referring to in the Bible reading? It's referring to us, absolutely. It's telling us that there are different gifts, there are different services, there are different ways that we do things. But the word "the same" always refers to, because God doesn't change. Although we're different, although we've all got different gifts, although we can all do different things, God doesn't change. I think if you hear nothing else today, that's the most important thing to realise. Because we can look around at everybody here and we can say, I wish I was like that person. I wish I had those gifts. I'm going to try and do that, even though I don't think I'm good at it. I'm going to try and do it because I want to be like that person. That isn't what God wants. He has deliberately made us all different. He's deliberately given us all different gifts. And we never, ever have to look at anybody else and say, I wish I could do what they do. Because God has equipped you to do what he wants you to do. I think that's an amazing message. Because too many people don't ever fulfill what God wants them to do because they're trying to be like somebody else. He has made you as you. And you are unique and you are amazing. So where it says there's different kinds of service, there's different kinds of gifts, that is God telling us, be yourself. He knew what he was doing when he made you. I think that's an awesome message. So the subject of spiritual gifts, it's a huge subject. And actually you could probably be here for about 10 hours and still not cover it. Don't worry, we're not going to be here for 10 hours, but we are going to just touch on it. And I know we're going to think about it again later on in the series, but we're going to think about spiritual gifts. And you know me, I'm a bit obsessed with verbs at the moment. So I've got four D verbs for you to think about what we need to do with our spiritual gifts. So the first thing that we need to do as far as our spiritual gifts are concerned is to discover what they are. That can be really hard, but I do think sometimes we overcomplicate it. One of the problems is it doesn't tell us in the Bible. There's not like a shopping list that says these are the spiritual gifts, you're going to have some of these. There are some indications, but no complete list in the Bible to tell you what the spiritual gifts are, because we're all different and because we all use them in different ways. But there are some clues. So those Bible readings up on our slide give us some clues as to what spiritual gifts God might give us. And so the first thing we need to do is discover what spiritual gifts we've got. You can do that in a number of ways. Obviously, the first thing to do is to read the Bible and to have a look and see what sorts of gifts God is giving out. There are tests that you can do. These tests can be really helpful because they do give you some indication as to what spiritual gifts you might have. But sometimes they do sometimes overcomplicate things. I've got a friend who was in a church, and it wasn't this church, but she wanted to help out in the church, and they had what they called a vocation day, where they looked at what people could do and what their talents were. Now, in that church, the vicar had made it really clear that they were short of children leaders. They all did this test. Now, my friend doesn't like children. She is not very good with children. But at the end of the test, despite her being creative, she's a writer, she's musical, she's... guess what her skill was? Children's leader, because that's what they needed. So there are some tests that might actually be a little bit warped towards what people want you to do, but there are some really, really good tests as well that you can do. Another way that you can discover your gift is to be brave and ask the people around you. Ask them what you're good at. Ask them, do you think I could do this? And if you ask the right people, they will be honest with you. Because one of the worst things you can do is to end up using gifts that you think you've got that you actually haven't. Because nobody benefits, and you certainly don't. It will destroy you. So to discover our gifts is really important. And then the third thing that you can do to discover it is to give it a go. If you think that you are going to have a real talent at teaching children, give it a go. Our children's team on a Wednesday night is amazing. I don't know if you saw the video of Benny dancing with the children. They're, honestly, it will be good for some of you to come and see them. The heart that they put into it, the way they talk to those children. But they didn't know, some of them, that they had that gift until they actually did it. And so sometimes it's worth just giving it a go, seeing if it is your gift. The second thing that we need to do with our gifts is to dedicate it. None of us have been given these gifts because of who we are, because we're amazing. If you're good at teaching, it's not because you're amazing, it's because God's given it to you. And so when we're given these gifts, it's really important that we dedicate them back to God. It's really important that we remember where they came from and dedicate them back to God. Because it says, and that song's going to be in your head for the rest of the day, but it tells you that you are shaped. We are shaped for serving God. That's why we're made the way that we are. He wants us to serve him. And so those spiritual gifts that he gives us, they're not there so we can say, "Why, hey, look at me." They're there so we can serve God. So it's really important that individually we dedicate them back to God, but also as a church. As a church, let's make sure we're really praising God for the gifts that we've got within our church, and make sure we're dedicating them back to God. Make sure we're saying to God, "What do you want us to do with this? We've got these amazing children's leaders. What do you want us to do?" And dedicate them back to God. And then the next thing that we need to do with our spiritual gifts is to develop them. Now, obviously, they are gifts from God, and God knows us, so we are gifted in it. But they do need to be developed, because the more that you do your gift, the more you become tuned in with what God wants you to do, the more he can use your gifts. So it's really important that we're using them. It's no good just saying, "I have got a gift of prophecy," and then using it. It needs to be developed. And so our gifts need to be discovered, dedicated, developed. And then the last one is a bit of a posh verb. It's called deploy. Deploy just means to spread out. Because when we have spiritual gifts, God wants to use his gifts to spread his love, to spread his word. And he does that by us also helping others develop their spiritual gifts. So those of you that have been Christians for a long time and are really secure in your spiritual gifts, why not mentor someone else and help them develop their spiritual gifts? Because it can be right at the beginning of your Christian life and you suddenly realise you've got a gift for something. It actually can be quite scary, because stepping out in faith is hard. But if you've got somebody there really egging you on and cheering you on and complimenting you and encouraging you, that makes all the difference. So we need to discover, dedicate, develop and deploy our spiritual gifts. There are three D's. Sorry, I'll just go through here. There's a Bible reading that we're going to go back to later on as well. And the Bible reading talks about not hiding your light. I think that is what this morning is all about. Because God has given all of us gifts. You have to accept that. I know some of you sit there and think, "No, I can't do anything." He has given us all gifts, and he wants us to use them and not hide them under a bush or under a bowl, which we're going to think about later. So that's RS, spiritual gifts. Our next letter is an H, and in your packs you should have some hearts and some glue and some paper for you to make a catcher. Because our hearts are really important in helping us to know how we're shaped to serve God. I wonder what really... Oh, I can see some sun catchers already. They're beautiful. Well done. I wonder what really makes your heart beat. I wonder what your passion is. Because that says a lot about how God shaped you. Sometimes we think we need to find out what our spiritual gifts are, and it's going to be something we hate, and we're going to have to go and do something that we really, really don't like. God has shaped us completely. And so the things that we enjoy are likely to be the things that we're good at, which are likely to be the things that we can use to serve God. And so what makes your heart really, really beat, what makes you excited, is likely to be one of your things that you can use to serve God. Have you ever seen a child talking about something that they're passionate about, whether it's dinosaurs or Peppa Pig or anything? When they talk about it, their eyes light up. Their whole body language is so excited because that's their passion. And actually, quite often, they don't care whether you're listening to them or not. They will just keep talking and talking and talking. That's what passion is. I wonder what really makes your heart beat. I wonder what your passion is. And what really interested me, I had a really interesting experience a few years ago, was I think sometimes God, although we have things on our heart that are our passions all the time, sometimes he changes them. I went to visit a friend, and we're really, really good friends, and we're very, very similar. I'm afraid there is somebody else like me. We're very similar. And normally we sit there and we talk about the same things and we encourage each other and we get excited about the same things. There was an issue going on in the news and we sat there and just talked about it a little bit. And then I realised that my friend was going on and on and on about this issue. And she was getting really, really passionate about it. And she was saying, as a church, we need to be doing this. As a church, we need to stop doing this. And I suddenly realised I wasn't passionate about it. Although I had the same opinion as her, I didn't have that fire to do something about it. And I found that really interesting because I think God does do that. I think sometimes he will come into our hearts and into our minds and he will say, I want you to do something about that issue. Or I want you to go into that place. Or I want you to help with that particular need. Doesn't do it, say it to other people, just says it to us. And that's what I think your heart is. Colossians 3 verse 11 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So I wonder what your passion is, and I wonder how you can use it to serve God. Because we can use all our passions to serve God. If your passion is driving, why not go and pick somebody up that's lonely and doesn't get out and take them for a drive? Why not give somebody a lift to church? Do you know what? There are some people that I know would come to church every week if they had a lift. But they don't come because they don't have a lift. If your passion is baking, bake cakes, take them into the local school. Bring them into Little Stars so that I can taste them. If baking is your passion, do it, but why not use it to serve God as well? Take it round to somebody that you know isn't very well. If your passion is talking, and we've actually got quite a few people, I think, whose passion is talking. If your passion is talking, then why not use that for God? Come to Michelle's group on a Monday night and sit down and talk to those people that are coming in from the community. God's given us all passions and he wants them us to use them to serve him. So H is for heart. The next letter is A. And this is about our abilities. And again, I know some of you, because I've been there, will sit there and say, I can't do anything. I'm rubbish. I've got no abilities. I've got news for you. They scientists reckon every single person has up to 500 unique abilities. 500. So don't ever tell people you can't do anything. You've got 500 abilities. And our abilities are all different. Now, it's going to be over to you for a minute. But you can't moan at me because I did warn you. What I'd like you to do is just talk to the people around you a little bit about what you think your abilities are. So I did put that on Signal yesterday. What special abilities have you got? And if there are some unusual abilities, tell the people around you that as well. And children, I'd like you to do that as well. So talk to the people around you about what you're good at. So when people say, write it on the A for me. People are going to say their abilities, you're going to write it on the A for me, okay? So I'll tell you what to write, don't panic. Okay, if you can come back. Ian's going to come around with the microphone. I wonder if anyone's prepared to share some of our abilities. While you do, Jonathan and Jesse are going to record them for us on our A. So we've got a record of what our abilities are within the church.
Patience.
Patience. It's a hard word to start with. Fantastic. What other abilities have we got in the church?
What ability have you got?
Hey?
What ability have you got?
Learning difficulties. Being kind.
Excellent. So Margaret's kind, if you can write that on. Any other abilities?
Yeah, I can play guitar, I think.
Play the guitar. Fantastic. Oh, come on. You're very talented.
Eating.
Eating. Well done.
Play a trombone.
Yeah.
Play a trombone. I play a trombone.
Wow, playing the trombone. Fantastic.
Listening.
Listening. Fantastic.
Singing.
Singing.
Dancing.
Dancing.
I like food.
Food?
Eating.
Food?
Food.
Eating.
Sharing.
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 You've got to shout. Come on, Brian, you've got to food. Come on, Karen.
To help. Helping.
Helping. Any other abilities? You got one? Go on.
Caring.
Caring. Any more?
Linda? Dancing, crafting. Yeah.
Dancing and crafting.
Ministering.
Ministry.
I have the ability to take people to different places.
Fantastic.
That they can't get to.
Transporting. Brilliant. So transporting. You do it amazingly, Trudy.
Gaming.
Gaming. Brilliant. Anyone else?
Oh, hang on.
Playing football.
Playing football, excellent. And Darcy?
Singing.
Singing as well, brilliant. Okay, you do know that we will watch, oh, Carol's. You just wanted to make Ian run, didn't you?
Talking.
Talking, excellent. So running. Those abilities are really, really important. And I know that you've got loads of others, and I guess most of you didn't want to say them because you think that they're not spiritual and that you can't use them in the church. All our abilities can be used in the church. I was really hoping someone was going to say that they could speak Klingon, but nobody can, so that's not so good. Okay, so we've now got, thank you boys, you can go and sit down now. We've now got our letter A that is full of our abilities as a church. Can you imagine if we all decided we were going to use those abilities to serve God? Can you imagine if we're good at fixing things? If we're good at painting? If we're good at car mechanics? If we use that for those people in our community that need them, how amazing would that be? Those abilities have been given to us by God. It's really easy to think, yes, spiritual gifts are given by God, but our abilities aren't. That's not true. He has shaped us to be who we are. And so all those abilities that he gives us are really important. Our next letter is P, and this is thinking about our personality. And so in your packs, you should have a word search that's got lots of different words for you to search for about what your personality might be like. But you'd be glad to know I'm going to stop talking now and I'm going to hand over to Liz because she's going to talk a little bit about something about her personality and some other people and how it shaped her.
Okay, now you'll see I'm holding a bag and I need one helper, please. Okay, how are you coming, Marceline? Now, this is a feely bag, so you're not allowed to look. And I want you to put your hand in. There's one object in there and I want you to feel it and describe it to us, okay?
Plastic.
Okay. Anything else?
Like a bag.
Oh, feel again. Hold on. Two things in there. My mistake. Okay, have another feel.
Like a glue stick lid.
Like a glue stick lid. So what shape would you say?
Like a circle.
Okay, would you like to reveal it? Thank you. Absolutely right. It was plastic. It felt like a glue lid and it was a circle. So give her a round of applause. Well done. Thank you. Now, this shape actually belongs in here. So you'll see the lid of this box has got many, many holes. But there is a best fit for this one. So if I take it, I can force it into the square shape hole and it might just go through. I can try and put it in the pentagon hole and it might go through. But the one that it fits in, and it's the best fit because it's shaped as it is the round hole. And when it goes in there, it's the best fit and it's safe and secure. Now, the reason I've used that is because, just as Kerry's been talking about, I've taken some time to find out what my spiritual gifts are. And for a long time, I felt a bit like I was trying all these different holes, and it was okay, and I could do it. I had the abilities and even enjoyed what I was doing, serving, but I then discovered where I fitted best, how God had shaped me. And I had lots of people to help me, just as Kerry said. I looked at the Bible, I did some kind of questions, I had people that I asked, what do you think? I tried out different things. So I did all the things that Kerry's been encouraging us to do, and then eventually found where I was the round peg for the round hole. And the best thing about me being the round peg in the round hole is that it's not something that is just my gift. The gift that I've got is shared by many, many, many of you here. And I'm going to invite a group to come up and join me. So can I please have to come and join me at the front? Kerry, Michelle, Karen, Rose, Annabella, Lorene, Dave, David, and Ian. Now, also joining us should be Grace, but sadly she's unable to be here this morning. This lovely team are also round pegs. And they fit in that same shape hole that I fit in as part of the pastoral team. Now, we don't look the same, do we? We're not the same. We don't share all the same abilities. We don't all have the same personalities. We don't all do things in the same way. But what we do all share is a passion and a commitment to extend care to all of you as a church family. So you will discover that one of this lovely team will make contact with you somehow. So you might receive a text message. You might receive a phone call. You might meet up on a one-to-one. You might have a chat on a Sunday or a coffee. So we'll all do it in different ways. But if you are part of the Church Signal group, somebody from this team will make contact with you from time to time. Okay, no set guidelines about it. But also, I wanted you to see all of us so that if you have a concern, if there's something pastorally you want support with, this is the team that you can come and connect with. So thank you, team. You may go and sit down. And in being that round peg for that round hole, it really fulfills this beautiful, beautiful command in the Bible. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Thank you, Kerry.
Thanks, Liz. definitely a round peg in a round hole because she's done an amazing job with the pastoral work in the church. So our last letter is E for experience. And I would guess for most of you, this would be the part of you that you might most like to hide. In your packs, you've got some emojis, and these emojis have got some different expressions, thinking about different things you might have gone through. Because every experience that we go through, none of them are ever wasted by God. Whether we go through a mountaintop experience or we're right down in the valley, God uses those experiences, and that makes us part of who we are. Because particularly those experiences that have been harder, particularly those experiences that have been really painful, particularly those experiences that might have been darker, they really help us. They really help to make us who we are. Because if we've been through the valley experiences, it softens our hearts. It gives us understanding and it gives us compassion. If we know what it's like to lose somebody close to us, you can't help but feel compassion to somebody else that's going through that. If we know what it's like to be rejected and to be forgotten, we look out for those people that we can see are feeling like that, and we support them and we help them. So there isn't one experience in our life that God will waste. And sometimes I think that's really hard to get hold of. Because what do we want to do with those painful, dark, horrible experiences? We want to push them down and pretend they didn't happen. But they did happen, and they're important. If you know that you have not been able to get through your life without a craving or an addiction, you are equipped to serve somebody else that is going through that. If you have woken up in the morning and think you can't get through that day, you can't help but see somebody else that is feeling that. Every experience in our life is used to shape us, and God uses every single one. So those of you that might be down in that valley at the moment and think there's no way up, there is a way up, but more importantly, God is going to use that. He's going to use that for your good, but also for the good of other people. And I think that should encourage us when we're in those areas where we think, I just can't do this anymore. You can, with God's help. And he will use those experiences as part of his plan for you. Theo, I think, is going to, thank you, do our reading from Corinthians.
Praise to be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God.
Lovely, thank you. Isn't that amazing that actually the Father of compassion, who comforts us in our troubles, helps us to comfort others that are going through it as well? I just think that's, again, really important to hold on to. So just to sum up, it's really important to realise that we have been shaped to serve God. Not the person sitting next to you. You have been shaped to serve God. And it's really important to know what our shape is. Because our shape reveals God's purpose for us. He has a purpose for every single person in this room, however old, however young, however long you've been a Christian, whether you became a Christian yesterday, his purpose for you is revolved around your shape. So our shape reveals God's purpose for us. It also equips us to serve God. Who we are helps us to do God's work. And our shape also shows God's glory. Because God will use you to show his glory to other people. And that's why we're shaped in the way that we are. Let's go back to our pot for a little bit. And so Linda has made an amazing pot. And I want to, Linda, if it's all right, I'm going to put a tea light in this pot. Where's Linda gone? Is that all right, Linda? I'm going to put a tea light in. So I've got some tea lights at the back here. I've got a real fear of candles. I used to be in a church where we used to do Christingles and we would have about 30 children holding candles, and I went home so stressed every time. So I tend to use fake tea lights that aren't candles. So I've got a tea light here that I want to put in the pot. If I put my tea light there and put my pot like that, is it doing its job? It's covered the light up. We are shaped to hold God's light. But if we try and cover it up, if we try and push it down, if we try and pretend to be someone that we're not, we are covering up his light. The way that we share his light is to really know what our shape is, what our purpose is, and live that out to the best that we possibly can. The Bible reading says, don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it in a stand and let it shine for all to see. We're going to have a little bit of time of reflection now. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. Because at the back, we've got a number of different tea lights. I'd like you to just reflect while Keegan's playing some music for us. Just quietly reflect what God might be saying to you about your shape, about how he wants you to show his love to others. And then what I'd ask you to do is, if you're brave enough, really think and make a commitment to God, not to anybody else, but to God, that you are going to investigate further what your shape is and how you can serve him. And if you're really prepared to do that, go and get a tea light from the back, they're on the back there, and come and put it in front of our shape. And let's see how we as a church, and that's children as well, how we as a church are going to respond to how God has shaped us to serve him. And then hopefully we will have a number of lights at the front. So we're going to have a time of reflection now for you to think about what God might have been saying to you about how he's shaped you to serve him. Thank you.
leprosy.
Thank you. Ourselves to you again. We thank you for the way that you've shaped us. We thank you for all that you've made us to be. And we just pray that you will use us mightily to shine for you. We place everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I just say one more thing about these lights? Don't they make a lot of light together? They shine together, and that's what we should be doing as a church. But if I take away a few of these lights, what happens? The light gets less, and the other lights around it have to work harder. It breaks my heart when some of you think that it doesn't matter whether you're in church or not. Because when we work together as a church, shaped in the way that we are, we really do shine God's light. But even if one of you is missing, we miss you. So for those of you that are thinking you don't matter, you do. Because when your light isn't there, there's a big gap. So we really do pray that you will really think about what you're shaped to do for God and realise how important you are for us at New Life. Not for us. It's not a club. It's not somewhere we come together to make each other feel good. We are here to serve God. And serving God together in the unique way that He's shaped us, what a difference we could make to the world out there.